Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, the day-to-day running of a business for many entrepreneurs can be very different. Without the right systems, knowledge and support, business owners can find themselves overwhelmed, undercharging for their time and trapped in the day-to-day running of their company. Paul Flavin's book, Build, Scale and Sell, takes a very different approach to traditional business books. Rather than presenting a technical manual, he tells the fictional story of Sarah, an entrepreneur dealing with many of the same challenges faced by real business owners. Through her journey, he explores the four pillars that underpin a successful company: marketing, sales, operation and finance. And delighted to say, business coach Paul Flavin joins me now. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. Thanks for the invite. Really looking forward to it.
Good man. Now, you describe Build, Scale, Sell as a business book that's written differently. And obviously, Sarah's story is central to it. Did you choose fiction rather than a traditional business guide? Because maybe fiction is an easier read, Paul.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of business books come across as so heavy that the average person, they don't know what they don't know, so they don't know what they're looking for. And if they get two or three pages in and they're feeling overwhelmed, they already feel like they're not equipped for the role. So if you make it too complicated for the start, you're just not going to get engagement. And doing the research for the book, one of the slightly worrying stats that I come across was the average reading age for an adult in the UK is 12. So if you've done this tome of work that's really great for, you know, the people you compare yourself to, it's falling short of what the average reader is actually looking for. Sure. So I wanted to do something that was going to be easier for them to read. They can follow it like a fictional story. They can engage with it. They can understand the pains that Sarah's going through. But at the end of each chapter, there's little workbooks and exercises they can actually score themselves against.
And while Sarah's experience is fictional, would you reckon that many real entrepreneurs would recognize themselves in her journey?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot going, you know, they've come up to me and said, did you write this book about me? Because they've gone through the same pain points. And, you know, as you know yourself, Bobby, business is business. It's only the product or service that changes. So although this has been written from the viewpoint of Sarah, who's a mortgage advisor and sets up her own company, it doesn't matter if you're a plumber, florist, whatever. I mean, it's just the product or service that changes. Business is still the same structure, no matter what you do.
You know, people start businesses for different reasons, Paul. Many of them are looking to buy themselves freedom. What are your thoughts around the reality being often very different to what was expected?
Yeah, massively different. I mean, there's two ways into business, really. I mean, they all go in it thinking they're going to pay less tax and have more time to themselves, which is the worst thing to think is going to happen. But they've either been made redundant, had a dream, or they're fed up of seeing their boss earning all the money while they're taking a minimal wage. You know, if you've got whatever industry it's in, you know, I always use plumbers for some strange reason, but a plumber's going to see, you know, that person's being charged £2,000 for a new boiler and they're getting £200 a day. I'm going to go and do all this myself. I can have all the money then. And what they end up with, they just become an employee of a lunatic, because they're now expected to work more hours than they've ever worked before for less pay than they've ever had before. No sick pay, no holiday pay. Life's very different in the real world. And, yeah. You know, it's a bit of a punch in the face when you take it on, because you don't actually know what you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And that's a huge learning curve. And you don't want to appear silly, so you don't want to ask for help. You don't want to let your family down, so you've got to struggle on. And you take the route, well, if I work harder, if I work twice as hard, I'll earn twice as much. And it's just so wrong. You know, they should be starting with like systems and processes and, you know, building repeatable quality and starting from there, knowing their numbers. I mean, how many businesses are sort of 5 years in and they still don't know how to read a set of accounts? Yeah. And they don't want to ask because they don't want to appear silly. And I just say, you know, I often have people come up, well, I've been trading for 8 years. And it's like, no, you've been trading 1 year, 8 times. You've just not progressed.
You argued that many entrepreneurs undervalue themselves and their time, and I get this. But is your value not what someone's willing to pay you for your work or your service?
The trouble is, when they take on the company, they're still working of what they received as an hourly rate, or what they was being charged out before. Now, you know yourself, the more value you're adding to someone's experience, the more they'll pay you for that experience. And when you're going into a new business and you don't understand your numbers, what you tend to do is look around at what your competitors are charging and then charge slightly less and offer slightly more. Now, if the failure rate on business is 60%, chances are you're pinning your pricing on someone else's failure.
Yeah.
If they are successful and you do happen to pick on someone that's good with their numbers, they've got a completely different set of metrics. So what's making them a profit doesn't necessarily make you a profit. I mean, they might have, you know, greater buying power or less overheads or whatever. So you've got to know your numbers, and you've got to go for it. And in as much that you can charge the amount that allows you to give the best service you possibly can deliver. If you can't, then you're going to be competing on price, and that's a race to the bottom. So you can't go in, you know, looking at it as if I used to receive £50 an hour. How the hell could I charge someone £300 an hour for my service? Well, if that's value for money, and value, you know, is really what we're driving here. If that client sees they're getting value for money at £300, why shouldn't you be charging £300?
Yeah, and there's no point in, you know, providing your service at a loss. Like, what are you achieving? So understanding your numbers is actually critical to put a value on yourself.
And it's like, you know, and especially early stages, what they'll tend to do as well is they want to do everything themselves because it makes everything cheaper. And if we go back to the plumber, you know, if they're a heating engineer, if they're getting a boiler installed, while they're doing that boiler install, they're probably on £100 to £150 an hour. But they won't take on an administrator because they want to save £15 an hour. What they should be doing is taking on their administrator, getting phone calls answered within, you know, 2 minutes, returning calls, sending out quotes, chasing up quotes, all that sort of stuff that the plumber's not doing because he's trying to save £15 an hour. And he's not actually saving £15 because there's always a sacrifice. So yeah, if he's doing that work in the evening or at weekends, his family's paying the price instead of him. Just pay the £15, get someone in to do the job. But they won't. They want to do it all themselves to save money.
Could I say this to you, that most people realize that at some point. Mm. Most successful businesses, you know, like we've all been there where you do everything yourself. It's a great way of knowing how the business ticks and indeed understanding your numbers and everything else. But, you know, eventually you actually see the wood from the trees. You see that point that you're very making there, that if I took on an administrator, I could do so much and I could get new work and I could do it. But sometimes we got to learn that stuff the hard way.
Yeah, and then when they do realize, as you say, they do realize it eventually, Bobby. But then what happens is they become the bottleneck in their business. So they've taken on a great administrator, or they've taken on, you know, someone in sales or in marketing. And even though they know absolutely nothing about marketing, they're going to want to sign off on every advert, every decision. They know nothing about reading their books, but they won't let their bookkeeper do anything without their say-so. So all of a sudden, you've got all these people you've now employed, and hopefully you've got the right ones that are really trustworthy and can take you forward, but you won't give them their reins because you're so scared of not making every decision. So you sort of get to £300,000 to £500,000 turnover mark, and there you've stuck because you're now the bottleneck in the business. So you go through these stages.
Just, I am interested as well, and I like the way that you divide the book into the four pillars of marketing, sales, operations, and finance. Now, we're all good at certain things and we're not so good at others. So is it important, say I am a numbers guy and I'm a finance guy, that then my selection of the marketing, sales, or operations people who work in my business is critical? It doesn't have to be me.
No, I mean, you've got to, and I always say that the trouble is with everyone really is they don't invest in themselves. So if I'm looking to take on a marketing person, I might do a couple of courses on marketing. Not that I'm going to do it myself, but because I need to know what these people are talking about when they talk to me. I don't have to be an expert, but at least give myself a grounding so I know what I'm talking about. But they don't. And they, you know, they won't invest in themselves. Then they wonder why they've made the wrong decision when they're employing someone. Just understand the language you're going to be communicating in and allow that to move you forward. But you've got to invest in yourself because, you know, a business will stop at the owner's capacity. And often that's the breaking point of the business. The owner doesn't understand how to move forward or doesn't understand what he's not letting go of or she's not letting go of. So, you know, the idea is, yes, there is four pillars. And marketing is there to drive the right person to your top of funnel so they know that so people aren't entering the top of the funnel want exactly what you're offering. Then the sales process is that nurture journey, because if they don't want to buy on day one, just keep in touch with them, because 6 months, 12 months time, they might come back, or during that period, they might recommend friends or family. So there's got to be a nurture journey. So marketing drives them to the top of funnel, sales then takes them through the funnel. You come out the end of the funnel as a customer, then you've got to deliver quality of service. So the operations is not only delivering the service you've got, but having that repeatable quality. So you've got systems and processes in place. Everyone in there knows what their role is and stays in line. And then, or I'll call it finance, it's knowing your numbers across the board. So, yeah, knowing your profit and loss and everything is great, but you also need to know what's the cost of acquiring a customer. What's the lifetime value of that customer? I mean, if that customer's got a lifetime value of, say, £10,000, you don't mind spending £1,000 to gain them. But if the lifetime value is only £100, you're not going to spend £90 to gain them. So those numbers, what's your conversion rates? So finance covers all the numbers in the business. And I think when a business owner actually, you know, and I'll say you've got to decide, going back to plumber, at some point you've got to decide, are you a plumber that owns a business or you're a business owner that offers plumbing services? Because you've got to go through that transition of becoming a business owner. And it's quite a hard step because you lose your identity. If you've been the biggest business writer or you're the best salesperson or the best plumber or whatever, that's your identity. And all of a sudden you've got to back off doing that and being the highest producer to becoming the business owner. And now you go, how do I measure myself? How do I know if I had a good day or a bad day when I don't actually know what I'm now measuring myself against? And that, they go through, you know, imposter syndrome and everything else at that point. And that's just taking them onto another stage. And I wanted to call that out in the book because I wanted to say, look, this is going to happen. And this is perfectly normal. Don't worry about it. You're just transitioning to that business owner role.
All right. It's a great read. Really well written. And again, I like your style, Paul. That's Paul Flavin there, the author of Build, Scale, Sell, the roadmap for every business owner striving for success. Thanks a million, Paul.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.